The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
You're in the home 6010.
We're back. Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Preview time for week 14. Playoffs are upon us. They began last night, actually. Hello to Matthew and Starfanya. What's happening?
What is happening, Field Yates? How are you? Yes, the fantasy playoffs started last night in earnest. Congratulations to everyone out there that started Allen Robinson, that started Anthony Miller.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know,
be less likely, but possible. He was on the waiver wire column. 13 points, this week.
Yeah. On the waiver wire column.
I started Anthony Miller in a playoff game. Yeah.
I started Anthony Miller against Paul Rudd. Yeah, take that, Ant-Man, in the Agbo Superhero
See,
League.
You got Ant-Man with Anthony Miller.
Oh, wow. That's right, I did.
Ba-da-bum-bum.
Nice job there, Stefania. Yeah.
Don't anyway, you reward so, that? That was not a nice
check
job.
That out, then go to ESPN.com/superhero.
I'm surprised he's only, wow, only 3.1% started with Anthony Miller.
Yeah,
what is happening?
I'm putting in my IP.
He's putting in his IP.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, after the show starts, because that's a requirement.
That's right.
You know what?
Not enough flack to Matthew Berry. You don't want him to swear. You might have to owe it to the job.
It's casual Friday for you, but you're the commish.
My Venmo is now only in increments of $1.
Yeah.
Because there are only two people that Venmo me things. Well, I guess really one. Matthew, you're the only person that Venmos me. I guess on occasion friends do. We go out to lunch or whatever,
right.
Big group tab or something.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Otherwise, it's just you for $1.
That's right. Well, I swore. I agreed to do that. So, yeah, whatever. I gave you a dollar. We'll put it in the swear jar there. And, yes, Stefania, I am wearing Casual Friday. So, I'm in my commish sweatshirt. It is part of the Fantasy Life collection.
I've never heard of that before.
Repping the brand.
What brand?
It's super comfortable. Fantasy Life. Available. FantasyLife.com.
Is that a new site?
What?
I don't think I've ever heard of anything about
it. Yeah, let me tell you all about it. FantasyLife.com. Well, do you need a tumbler? Do you need a hoodie? Do you need a sweatshirt? Do you need a tank top?
I have a tank top that I work. It says Fantasy Football Goddess. Okay,
why?
And it's comfy.
Is there
it's
a reason
cozy.
We haven't talked about this stuff before or no?
Remember?
Have I not been paying attention?
Yeah. By the way, if anyone, I wasn't planning on doing this now because usually we wait for the crappy promo.
I fed it to you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
you know, and you're
because it's time for gifts. It's the holidays.
You're the best, Stefania.
To gift
real quickly. Your tank top, super comfy, right?
Yeah. And who helped design the ladies? You know,
Starfanya Bell did. Right. Anyway, thanks because it's the playoffs. If you use the promo code playoffs15. Playoffs 15. Exactly. Playoffs 15 gets you 15% off at fantasylife.com.
I feel like there's a way to re-trigger that, not to try to take money out of your pocket, but I bet if you made it playoffs 19, you get 19% off 2019.
Oh, interesting.
You might even generate more business. All right, let's get to the football. We got to recap last night and then get to our preview.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
All right, so last night's game, the Bears stay red hot. They win 31-24, a game that was not nearly that close as the Cowboys piled up some junk time. But you know what? Fantasy football playoffs, I don't care when the points are scored. They all matter. David Montgomery last night, 20 carries for 86 yards. He's been better of late.
Yeah.
He certainly found his groove. We good enough to trust David Montgomery as sort of a flex player for the next couple of weeks. For those who don't play into week 17, it would mean, are you trusting him in the semifinals or potentially the finals if you make it that far?
Eh.
Eh.
I mean, look, so David Montgomery looked good-ish. Look, the offense as a whole looked good. Trubisky looked great. The offense moved the ball seemingly at will, right? They put up over 30 points just as a team, and so he looked good. I mean, there were some plays that were, he showed some nice burst. But then again, so 20 carries for 86 yards, not involved in the passing game. He fumbles, finished with 6 fantasy points.
Yeah, wasn't a great night. Yeah.
It's like, you know, they're at Green Bay next week.
You know what?
So, could the Bears get blown out of that one? Potentially.
It's week 15. It'll be week 15 when they next play. We've been having the same conversation with David Montgomery all season. I feel like there's no need to belabor the point. Whatever. If you're playing him, it's because you don't have a great, overwhelmingly solid flex option. Otherwise, If you're not, it's because you cut bait a while ago or you never invested in the first place. David Montgomery, we know he is.
If you move on and you are in week 15 next week, it is not because of David Montgomery. Yeah. It's in spite of David Montgomery. And I think that's right, Field. I think he's like, he's a guy with a pulse at the moment. Like could you play him as a flex and like sort of squint your eyes and hope he gets into the end zone like he did on Thanksgiving? Sure.
So Stefania,
but he's not somebody that I'm like,
Stefania,
I've got to put him in.
Not champing, but chomping at the bit to chime in.
Champing. She is champing at the bit.
If he plays next week.
We did this bit. Yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
That is the thing.
Star.
Because last night, if you watched the game to the bitter end, David Montgomery entered the blue medical tent like right before the 2-minute warning.
That is correct.
And did not come back into the game. Now he was on the bench, I think, afterwards. But so just before you're thinking about committing to David Montgomery, let's make sure he's healthy.
Commitment issues are a thing for a lot of people. I know there's one more thing that you want to mention from this game, Matthew, because you are on the Mitch Trubisky bus right now.
Look, the guy has been much maligned, and rightfully so, this season. But I thought he played better last night. I think he's been playing better for a while since week 10, Field.
Okay.
On a per-game basis.
Yeah.
He's averaging 20.9 fantasy points per game. On a per-game basis, that's QB7. He's been the seventh-best quarterback in fantasy since Week 10. Again, we're not through, obviously, the entire week, so it's a little bit of funny math. But still, like, for the season, his 20.9 average since Week 10 would be QB6 on a per-game basis for the year, just below Patrick Mahomes at 21.4. And the thing that encouraged me the most last night was the rushing. Again, some of it was scrambling, but there were a few designed
Those
runs
count.
In there. Ultimately, 10 carries for 63 yards. Obviously, he scrambles for the touchdown as well. And that's one of the reasons why people drafted him as a late-round sleeper this year in two QB leagues and deeper leagues. He was my quarterback in Fishbowl. Thanks so much. I got eliminated from the playoffs last week in Fishbowl. And Mitch Trubisky does this the week after. This would have been nice earlier. But anyway, look. He had
last week.
Yeah, he was good last week. He was, and
was
I made the playoffs.
The rest of your roster that wasn't good?
No. Chris Godwin, OBJ has killed that team. Whatever, I made the playoffs. It's fine. Just missed it by 10 points. What are you going to do? Getting into the semifinals.
Oh, man, if you missed it by 15 points, you would have missed it by playoffs 15. How cool would that have been?
Yeah, that's right.
It would have been like trolling yourself, but also.
Avail 15% off at FantasyLife.com.
You're welcome.
15.
You're welcome.
All I'm saying here, Field Yates, is that Mitchell Trubisky, I think, is suddenly more interesting than I think people give him credit for. This was a monster game that he had here, and I don't think it's as much of a fluke as you think it is. Week 10 against Detroit, he played well, had the 3 touchdowns. Played at the Rams in week 11, not a great game. But then, home to the Giants, 18 points. At Detroit in week 13, 23.9. Home to Dallas, 32 points. And now he's got 10 days to prepare for the Packers.
Yeah, it's two straight good games with Mitch. I think the big conversation, and we'll talk about this next week when we're actually focusing on week 15, is that could you make a case to start Mitch Trubisky in week 15? Sure. But you could also make a case to start about 15 other quarterbacks in week 15. That's what it comes down to. For Mitch Trubisky.
Will he make the free agent fines column this week?
Maybe.
I think you should think about it.
Okay.
I think you should consider it. I think you should. I'm throwing it in the suggestion box.
Thank you.
It rattle around in that pretty little head of yours.
Gotcha. Maybe. We'll see. It depends on if there are other Ryan Tannehill Tannehill's available.
We can't get Tannehill over 15, right. No, I get it.
Like, so would you make the case more for Tannehill or Trubisky?
He's been better longer.
So I think there are enough quarterbacks that it's hard to advocate for too many guys as waiver wire ads at week 15 of the season.
Fair enough. I'm just saying, like, this is a guy with 7 touchdowns in his last 2 games.
Sure. He's been good for 2 straight games. That's good. Let's spin things forward and let's get to the major injuries.
And has been fantasy viable since week 10. All right, here we go.
Wait, I just want to put that. So what are you saying? Are you saying that he is a must start throughout the rest of the fantasy playoffs?
I'm not saying he's a must start. I'm not at all saying that. What I'm saying, Daniel, is that this is a guy that has been much maligned all season long.
Yep.
And so what I am doing is I am shining a spotlight. I am pointing at some opportunity here, just saying, like, hey, you know what I mean? You may have a perception of Mitchell Trubisky that I think might need to be switched, because this is a guy that since week 10 has put up 4 very usable fantasy days in the last 5 weeks. And that, again, like as I said, since week 10, he's averaging over 20 fantasy points per game. Since week 10, on a points per game basis, he's a top 7 fantasy quarterback.
So you're comfortable utilizing him in a playoff matchup?
I am saying we'll see where the rankings come out. I think Fields right, but I think he's on that radar. Do I think that if I'm scrambling around, if I'm in a deeper league and I'm in a two quarterback league, or if I'm, we'll see what happens this week if somebody gets injured.
Of course, he's playing in a two quarterback league. Of course.
Sure. Okay.
I absolutely, he is not, of course. Like, I will tell you that in my two quarterback leagues where my second quarterback is, like, I've been sifting through Trubisky and Jacoby Brissett and Kyle Allen this year because Big Ben got hurt for me. So, you know, in leagues like that, like, Trubisky hasn't been an every week starter for me. I'm sort of playing the matchups. And so my point is I'm merely pointing out the fact that this guy not only played well, but I think it's less of a fluke than you might think. It seems like they finally got him running again, and it feels like Matt Nagy finally has a handle on this offense that I thought overall Chicago moved the ball well against a Dallas defense that in theory should be decent and came into that game needing a win.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. Let's move things forward here to Sunday.
For the record, I was done with that topic and Secret Squirrel interrupted and made me go longer on
okay.
That.
Here we go. Stefania, you ready to get things rolling here injuries of the week?
I was working on a side job while that conversation finished up.
Okay. Promo code playoffs15 gets you 15% off. Is that what were you ordering?
FantasyLife.com.
FantasyLife.com.
I was getting Matthew a gift.
Okay.
You'd never know what it was.
Okay. Great.
I like it.
Stefania, let's begin with a major injury in Minnesota. And it's unfortunately an all too familiar one. Adam Thielen just still cannot get right.
Yeah, this is really interesting because we talked last week about how week 13 was sort of targeted by the Vikings after he tried to come back a couple weeks prior and lasted only a handful of snaps. And then his last week in practice, Courtney Cronin, who covers the Vikings and is excellent, and she picks up on a lot of little things, and said she got that there was a scare in practice. Now, the Vikings went out of their way to say he didn't really have a setback, but there was something that made him feel uncomfortable. And I think this is worth pointing out. Guys who have these hamstring injuries, and then they think, like, it's no big deal, I'll just play again. Because remember, Thielen had not missed a game in his career before this hamstring caused him to miss time. And I don't think he took it as seriously as he probably should have, because he didn't understand that this could be a chronic thing. And now I've seen this with athletes before, they get apprehensive, like, I'm not quite 100%. And if I go out there and something happens, I could have a really big setback. And that's how he sounded last week. So now all of a sudden, at a game where it looked like he was going to play and he was questionable down to the wire, this week, he's still very questionable and not practicing. And Courtney reported yesterday that Mike Zimmer, talking about how they were going to evaluate Thielen, referenced next week. And so that she took a hint from that. And he then corrected himself and said, I mean, tomorrow. But she's taking from that they're really thinking that he is not ready to play. We will see if he's how he qualifies on the injury report going into this game against Detroit. But she's not feeling very good about it. I hear a guy who's still apprehensive. Just don't feel great about Adam Thielen, even if he does go. Like, he just doesn't sound like he's confident in his leg yet.
They don't have margin for error in the sense that, like, they can just tank the rest of the season and they will
make the playoffs.
But
no, they
kind of do, though. I mean, in the sense that, like, there is still things to win and achieve for the Vikings. But the reality is they're staring down the sixth seed in the NFC. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to take a lot of things to go in their favor over the next 4 weeks for them to be anything but the sixth seed in the conference. So their mindset might be like, listen, if we need to think bigger picture here.
Sure.
Realistically, we should be able to win this game minus Adam Thielen. We're not going to put him out there and make him vulnerable. So we'll see if he plays on Sunday. Is there an impact, though, if he doesn't play? Have we learned anything in Thielen's absence, whether it's somebody else whose value is catapulted? I think, and maybe this is just because I have used him quite a bit recently. It feels like he's been good. It feels like Kyle Rudolph has kind of stood to benefit in Adam Thielen's absence. Do we think it's about Thielen's absence, or do we think it's about something else?
I think it's a few things about Kyle Rudolph. I mean, first off, you know, we always joke about this. Kyle Rudolph, 6'6". You can't teach that.
And you just can't teach that.
You just can't teach it. And so, look, he's been a nice red zone target throughout Kirk Cousins' career. He's always used the tight end, especially in the red zone. And when you're looking around for options there's like a big guy with great hands.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the reasons why the Vikings brought back Kyle Rudolph this offseason, paid him a lot of money. There was expectation. There was some speculation that maybe they would move on after drafting Irv Smith, but they not only kept Kyle Rudolph, they paid him handsomely. And so, yeah, I don't think that's wrong. I think the usage of Kyle Rudolph is because of maybe there's a little bit more opportunity with no Adam Thielen there. But I also think it's that offense has gotten better. Kirk Cousins has played really good football recently. They were so run heavy at the start of the year, and there was a criticism. Adam Thielen called him out. Stephon Diggs. There was some off-field drama between Diggs and the team there for a little bit. And that seems to have calmed down because they've become a much more balanced offense. Kirk is playing great, and the passing offense is rolling here. I just wanted to point out real quickly, I don't think it's necessarily an Adam Thielen thing, but Stephon Diggs, for me, made the love hit list this week. And I think a lot of people are concerned about Stephon Diggs. Didn't have a great game last Monday night. They're talking about Darius Slay, obviously, especially with Thielen banged up. We expect Darius Slay to shadow Stephon Diggs. But I'm in on Stephon Diggs this week, Fields, despite all that. I mean,
okay.
Lions is a team allowing an NFL-high 4.6 deep completions per game. That's the most since the Patriots in 2012. Like, you can throw deep on them. Darius Slay is a good corner. I don't think he's a great corner.
He's a great corner.
Yeah.
I don't think he is a great corner in the sense that Stephon Gilmore is a great corner. Let me rephrase it then. There's no question he's a very talented player. I guess what I mean is, because I'm looking at it from a fantasy perspective. If you have a wide receiver starting against Stephon Gilmore, you're like, I'm thinking about benching him.
Fair.
I don't think you're going to bench somebody against Darius Slay because they're facing him. I guess that's what I mean when I say great corner. I'm looking again purely from a fantasy point of view. NFL perspective, he's a top 10 corner in the NFL. 100% agree with that. So I guess my feeling is that I think some people might say, oh, he's going to be, you know, guarded by Darius Slay. I guess I'm not worried about that. Remember, and Darius Slay left the game with an injury the last time they faced the Lions. But last time Stephon Diggs played Detroit, 143 yards on 7 catches.
Big day.
I think he's a top 20 play this week. I think he's a, you know, high-end wide receiver 3, low-end wide receiver 2 against the Lions, even with Darius Slay shadowing him as well. He's now got a touchdown or 100 receiving yards in 10 straight divisional games. It's kind of a weird thing, but when it's in the division, Stephon Diggs steps up. And so with no Adam Thielen there and their running game a little bit banged up, I think Stephon Diggs could get deep for one here.
Hoop. That's what they say about Austin Hooper when he catches a pass. Stefania, will he catch a pass on Sunday, you think, for the Falcons?
I think it's looking pretty good for him.
Okay.
You know, he's been out 3 weeks with a sprained MCL, but he's had 3 practices since they last played a game, which was Thanksgiving. So with all that extra time, they got this bonus practice in, limited each time. But I think if he's a full go on Friday today, then I would say I expect him to play.
That's good news right there. Obviously, you're starting Austin Hooper if you have A, rostered him, and B, held on to him. As a reminder, when we last looked at this, he was available in 11% of leagues. Just take a look, just in case. I don't think many competitive leagues would have Austin Hooper available, but something to keep in mind. James Conner, Stefania, called his shot.
Well, hey, real quickly, before we move off of Austin Hooper, I just want to say this. I would be concerned a little bit about Russell Gage, that if Austin Hooper is active for this game, Russell Gage, who's been used, you know, has had some nice production recently for deeper leagues, I think that would end somewhat if Austin Hooper plays in this game.
Okay, good to know. I don't think that's it's fair, I think, with especially if we talk about Julio a little bit later on in the show with the forecast from Stefania about his availability for Sunday.
Assuming Julio, Ridley, and Hooper are all active, I think you have to downgrade Russell Gage.
Fair enough on that. James Conner, Stefania, called his shot earlier this week when he talked to the media.
Yeah, this is interesting. He's already told everyone he's out. And it's...
Of course he has. Of course he has.
Well, I think it's interesting because the team hasn't, but he was very clear that he wasn't going to play, and he hasn't played since week 11. You know, he missed weeks 9 and 10 before that. We know he came back in week 11, then
and left
very early.
Very
and
early on.
Since then,
some people think he shouldn't have been playing in week 11.
Well, you know, it's easy to call that in hindsight, isn't it?
No, some people said it before the game, but okay. All right. Anyway.
Well, here's the thing. You know, well, if everybody had a crystal ball, here's the bottom line. He said last week that he made some comments on the radio that he didn't want it to turn into a surgery situation. And I think as a result of those comments, it just makes it sound like they're going to be over or err on the side of caution is what I should say. Once you knew he aggravated it with just a few snaps, you know he's going to be out at least that amount of time. This is another 2 weeks on top of that, so we'll see.
Okay, Benny Snell
next. Should he just shut it down at this point?
No. Nope. Nope. Not because if he can play, you want. I always say if the guy can play and he's healthy enough to go, you want the guy back out there. He's been practicing. He's actually participating on the scout team this week. It's really about contact.
Not only that, these are competitive people.
Yeah. Like, you just don't.
Just because we think it makes pragmatic sense, like James Conner, if he's going to be.
They're in a playoff hunt.
Correct.
Right.
That's exactly right.
So that's my point. It's just like if he's healthy enough to practice.
Right.
If he's healthy enough to practice, then why are you and you? They need this is a game they
because
need to win against Arizona. They're down
said?
To their third string
Wait,
quarterback.
Did you hear what I just said? It's about contact. So him on the scout team, you know, when you talk about taking hits, everything looked fine until he took a hit the wrong way. You're talking about a hit directly on the point of the shoulder that can aggravate that particular injury. It's not that simple, you know. And if it, for him practicing, yeah, he can catch passes, he can do things, he can do a lot where he's not got a guy that's trying to slam him to the ground or hit his helmet to his shoulder.
There's a massive difference between practicing and playing, guys. So, I mean, like, you know, like Kevin Durant's putting up shots right now. Should he stop doing that? You know, like the guy's obviously not going to play this season. Like they're like guys do a lot of things
they need to be
progressive steps.
If they're ready to get back on the field, they get cleared. Like, okay, now you're good to go. You can't have him not being condition ready to be in a game.
No question about it. All right, so Benny Snell's the next man up, and over the past couple of weeks, we have seen him be the guy in the backfield in terms of carries for the Steelers. 37 carries over the past 2 weeks, but the problem with Benny Snell, Meth, the mitigating factor is he's got no passing game value. He has 2 catches over the past 2 weeks. So he and Jalen Samuels, I think we're kind of locked in here. Both players are sort of like meh flex plays until James Conner returns.
They are. Arizona allows the 9th most running back fantasy points this season. They give up over 27 a game. And since week 6, Steelers rank 7th in rush percentage. They don't really want Duck Hodges airing it out. So it's going to be a conservative game plan. And so could you see Benny Snell fall into the end zone? Sure. Could you see some dump offs to Jalen Samuels? Of course you could. I mean, Samuels actually had more runs last week than I think we expected. He wasn't involved in the passing game. But I agree with you. I think both guys, I would prefer Snell to Samuels, but I think both guys are sort of like, you know, you sort of squint and click them into your lineup and you sort of hope for the best. And I don't think they're anything other than contrarian plays in DFS and in PPR. They are touchdown dependent flexes.
Agreed on that. Stefania, there's a lot of Williams news in Kansas City this week,
confusing.
Specifically in the backfield. Yes. two guys,
Daryl
has been placed on IR. So he's
right.
out.
That
for
just
season.
Happened yesterday.
Yes.
Hamstring injury. He's now on injured reserve. So that removes one from
Correct.
The equation. Damian Williams dealing with a rib injury that I believe happened when they were in Mexico City.
Yep.
I had a bye week. So we never really heard much about the nature of it. So you just have to go by what's happened. And what's happened is not much. He didn't right. play in week 13. He has not practiced since. And certainly if you're coming to Friday with no practice yet, it makes it look like he will not be the one who's available. They also signed Spencer Ware back to the Chiefs. You've got Darwin Thompson, who had 24% of the offensive snaps in week 13. So I think you should be looking away from Damian Williams, at least for this week.
Okay, so Damian Williams looks likely to be out. You mentioned Spencer Ware, who can kind of be like Daryl Williams in the sense that he has some passing game value. He has some core special teams value, get an occasional carry. But
he understands the offense.
Sure.
I mean, he's a little bit, assuming full health, he's plug and play for them on some level because he understands what Andy Reid wants to do, having spent many years in Kansas City.
Understanding that the Patriots allow a league low 15.6 running back points per game this season, is there any Chiefs running back that you are excited to start this weekend? Because I suppose in this order it would go LeSean McCoy and Darwin Thompson.
That is correct. And then Spencer Ware is third. But I think you need to see how it shakes out. And the answer is no. I'm not excited about any one of these guys. I don't believe. So in week one of the NFL season, LeSean McCoy had just gotten there. Remember, he had been released by Buffalo and then signed to the Chiefs. So he had just gotten there. Week one, Damian Williams gets 19 touches. Since then, only once this entire season has any one Kansas City running back gotten 15 touches or more in a game. And so the Patriots, who've allowed 5 rushing touchdowns this entire year, that's an NFL low. There's been only 3 times this season a running back has scored more than 11 fantasy points against the Patriots, right? I mean, so 11 fantasy points is like last week that had been running back 29. So I can't imagine. So you're looking at a 3-headed committee on the road against a tough Patriots defense. It's hard to get excited about any one of these players here. And if I had to start a Chiefs running back, it's LeSean McCoy, but I'm certainly not excited about that prospect.
All right.
It's another one where you just sort of you close your eyes, you click submit, and you hope for the best.
Yep,
you're hoping for a cheap touchdown.
We're almost breaking things down here to the players you were excited to start and the players that you are starting because you have to. It feels like all Chiefs running backs fall into that latter category. We're going to do some love-hate in just a moment, but first, your parents don't pack lunches anymore. Actually, my mom does. But you still need to eat.
Mama Yates packs his lunch.
You know what? I'm going to save this one for later. I was stealing Stefania's library.
That's
my bad.
I was like, I was just checking with Daniel.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is brought to you by ADT. What does real protection mean for our listeners? You can get all the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT, combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you and your family. You get 18,000 employees safeguarding you with connection to first responders. You get the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can get a secure smart home with everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks, and lights controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. You can get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. You get a system custom designed to fit your home. You can get safety on the go, in the car, or when your kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button. Now we move along to Love Hate. Of course, the column came out yesterday on ESPN.com. Matthew, a couple of players that you love, which means that you forecast their projection to be even higher than what Mike Clay has them for. Begins with Devontae Freeman of the Atlanta Falcons have a great matchup against the Carolina Panthers.
And I will say before we get into Freeman, I just hope everyone will read Love Hate this week. Even if you don't like my analysis, even if you already know who you're starting and sitting, I think you will enjoy and learn something from the opening story. So I do hope everyone takes a moment to read the opening story in Love Hate this week. It's a special one this week. Specific to Devontae Freeman, you're right. He does make the love list. I do expect him to exceed expectations here. Look, this is a guy who last week had 17 carries to Brian Hill's 4. I mean, you know, and then like, you know, no other running back had a carry like their fullback, Keith Smith, got 2. But he got the majority of touches for Atlanta in his first week back, and I expect even more against Carolina. No Dontari Poe. Their whole defensive line's been sort of banged up this week. And as a result, the Panthers' defense field has completely been decimated. They've allowed a rushing touchdown now in 9 straight games. They've allowed multiple rushing touchdowns in 5 of the last 7. They're giving up 5.29 yards per carry. That is the most in a season since the 2013 Chicago Bears. Tackling has been a bit poor issue for them. They allow 2.2 yards per carry after first contact. That's worst in the NFL. Their red zone defense is 6th worst in the NFL. Their goal-to-go defense is worst in the NFL. And so Devontae Freeman, in an unbelievable matchup, who's going to get about 20 touches here, to me, is easily a top 12 play this week.
Looking for his first rushing touchdown of the season as well. How about Alshon
Jeffery? I say he gets it.
Okay, great. Me too.
Oh, that's too bad.
Alshon Jeffery has a...
I say he gets it. So does Field. Put it on the board.
Okay. Alshon Jeffery was awesome last week for the Eagles against Miami, and now he gets a comparably favorable matchup on Monday Night Football against the New York Giants.
They've allowed 18 touchdowns to opposing wide receivers this year, Field. That's 3rd most in the NFL. They've allowed a wide receiver touchdown in 5 straight games, including multiple wide receiver touchdowns in 3 of those games. And he is the clear-cut number one wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, okay? 16 targets last week, right? 9 for 137 and a touchdown against Miami, and you're like, it was Miami. Yes, a very good matchup. But you know what? Alshon Jeffery did what a good wide receiver should do against a bad matchup. He exploited it in a big way. He's got another great matchup against a bad defense this Monday night on ESPN. I'm a company man. And so, for me, a little bit touchdown dependent, but again, given how poor the Giants are in terms of defending big wide receivers, big physical wide receivers like Alshon Jeffery, Aguilar seems, he's been inconsistent so far this year.
It's nice of you.
You know, and we don't expect Jordan Howard in this game, so it's going to be more of a pass-first offense, I believe, on Monday night. So yeah, Alshon Jeffery for me is a top 20 play this week. Again, he's a little bit touchdown dependent, but I think he scores on Monday night, especially with you know, Stefania, I don't know, Zach Ertz still doesn't feel like he's 100% in the passing game either. I know the hamstring was bothering him last week. Felt like it did.
Yeah. I mean, he's lumbering a little bit, but I don't think it keeps him out. Yeah.
No, I'm sure he plays, but it just doesn't feel like he's – feels like this passing offense runs through Alshon Jeffrey, and you get some Ertz and Goddard and Aguilar in there, but from – and Miles Sanders, I guess, out of the backfield. But I feel like – Alshon Jeffrey has a big game on Monday night.
A player that also receives votes on the love list is Ryan Tannehill, top streaming option of the week. If you have players like Tom Brady or Drew Brees or Jameis Winston as your starting quarterback going into the playoffs, Ryan Tannehill should be starting over all of them, according to the ranks.
All three of us have him as a top 10 play this week. Yeah. I mean, look, the Cardinals and Dolphins have allowed a higher percentage of passer rating this year than the Oakland Raiders. Right? And only Miami's allowed a touchdown on a higher percentage of passes than the Oakland Raiders. And so Ryan Tannehill, who's accounted for multiple touchdowns in six straight weeks, who is the sixth best quarterback in fantasy since week seven. He became the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans in week seven, and he's the sixth best quarterback in fantasy since
awesome.
That time.
Yeah.
And so if you just took the name off, if you didn't think, you know, it's just we've been so frustrated in fantasy with Ryan Tannehill for so many years. I think that's why people have been slow to sort of pick him up and start him and trust him. And I get it. It's week. I get it. It is week 14. It is still a run first offense. They are traveling across the country to the black hole where it is always tough to play. But yeah, I believe Ryan Tannehill is a very viable streamer this week. We all have him as a top 10 play against Oakland.
Before we get to Matthew's hates for the week, the library from Stefania that I nearly stole.
Yeah?
She's getting it.
Okay.
DoorDash.
Oh, DoorDash.
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 I am a fan of DoorDash.
Are you a fan of DoorDash?
Oh, yeah.
Do they deliver wine or no?
Well,
do you ever order food?
I don't know that, but I know that. Yeah.
Do you ever order food from DoorDash? That's a better question.
Yes, I have ordered food from DoorDash.
Be honest though, when you order food for DoorDash, is that so that the DoorDash guy doesn't think you're an alcoholic? Because is it like five bottles of wine and like an apple?
Is there something wrong with that?
No, okay, not at all. I just want to know.
All right.
Fruit pairs well.
Your parents
tell us about DoorDash.
Your parents don't pack your lunches anymore, Matthew.
No. But I pack fields.
Have your favorite restaurants brought to you with DoorDash. Brown paper bag not included. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite too. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code FOCUS. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code FOCUS. Don't forget, that's promo code FOCUS for $5 off your first order from DoorDash.
Thank you, Star Fun. Yeah, we move along to the other side of the column, which is the hate column. Again, that means that Matthew projects them to have fewer points than Mike Clay does in his official projections, which are what you see on your app or on ESPN.com. Kenyon Drake, Matthew, is a player that has actually played really well for the Cardinals since he was acquired. And shout out to our guy, Kenny Legan, video producer of this podcast. And Kenny actually told me, shout out to his buddy Paul, who sent the stat of all stats about Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake has played in 10 games this year. He hasn't won a single game. He was traded by the Dolphins,
yeah,
at which point he was winless. Since acquired by the Cardinals, he's still winless. The dude is 0-10 this year. That's amazing.
It really is.
Kenny's friend Paul, nice job. That's a good pull.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. I mean, I've been sitting here, putting all the losses at the feet of the Arizona Cardinals official Twitter handle.
Right.
But it might have been, I should tag Kenyon Drake in the next time I do those tweets.
Well, that'll end well for one of you.
It's not you.
Yeah.
You don't think it'll be me?
I don't think so.
Well, we'll see. You think Kenyon Drake would come after me?
I don't know. He went to Alabama. They have a very popular fan base.
They might do have a very popular fan base.
Cardinals, they have fan base. Yeah,
you don't want the Roll Tide folks on your case.
That's fair. That's fair. I will say, because as I've been trolling the Cardinals, like, I have like 7 Cardinals fans that come after me. Like, that's it. Everyone else is just sort of like, it's like, it gets like 6,000 likes and then like 7 people like, rawr. It's actually pretty funny. All right. Anyway, maybe it's 9. I'm sorry, Cardinals fans. It might be 9. Okay. It might be 9 or 10. I don't know. All right. Anyway, Kenyon Drake. Yeah, look, I'm concerned about Kenyon Drake this week from a fantasy perspective. I'm outside my top 20. I think he's another one of these scoring, I'm like, flexes, right? First off, it's the matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Last 4 weeks, Steelers allowed just 3.7 yards per carry. That's 6th best in the NFL. They've allowed 1 rushing touchdown in that entire stretch. In the last 3 games, we all remember Kenyon Drake's first game with Arizona where he played so brilliantly against the 49ers. But since that one game, the last 3 games, Kenyon Drake averaged just 3.4 yards per carry. And so the Steelers' defense, which has been so good here, and then you can't even really necessarily count on the volume. If I have to start a Cardinals running back, it's Kenyon Drake, and I don't think it's close.
Of course.
But obviously we saw some David Johnson last week. Chase Edmonds was active last week. Didn't play a snap on offense, but he was active last week. So could you see a little bit of Chase Edmonds this week? Could you see a little bit of David Johnson this week? Enough that, not that you're starting Johnson or Edmonds, but it's enough that it takes away from Kenyon Drake in a game that should be, you know, kind of low scoring. Again, you go to that game where that debut game. And after that debut game, last 3 games, he's 33 in rushing yards per game. He's 34th in yards per carry. Like, I don't know. I am nervous about Kenyon Drake in this matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
How about John Brown for the Bills, who host the Ravens in what's going to be an incredible atmosphere on Sunday in Western New York at what I still like to affectionately call the Ralph.
Do you call it the Ralph?
Well, I like to affectionately call it the Ralph. It's really New Era Field, which is not, that's perfectly fine. But the Ralph, it just feels like it's the Ralph forever.
It feels okay. Far more true to the spirit of the city, right?
I think so, personally. But
fair enough. So the game will be at the Ralph. Shout out to our friends at New Era, but we're calling it the Ralph. Fair enough. I agree with you there. And listen, Bills Mafia should be thrilled. This is a fun team. Field, you've mentioned many times about how you feel like Sean McDermott and Billy Bean are really building.
Sorry,
Oakland A's. Anyway, so Brandon Bean, right? Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are really building something there in Buffalo, and I would agree with you. It's really impressive.
Yeah.
I personally believe it was with the release of LeSean McCoy, but ultimately, Buffalo has had a great season. They should be really excited not only about the prospects this year, about the future of what they're building in Buffalo. And I've been a big John Brown fan. He was a sleeper for me in the preseason. He's been nothing short of brilliant this year. That said, he makes the hate list for me this week because about expectations. I am outside my top 25 for the week. Here's my concern. Held to under 40 yards in back-to-back weeks. And this is a tough matchup with the Ravens. Okay? Since week 4, Baltimore top 10 defense in terms of deep yards per completion, deep touchdown percentage. Obviously, that's a big part of what John Brown does. And you think about how you can attack the Baltimore Ravens. And if you read my love hate, you'll see that, you know, one of the reasons that, that I think you can sort of attack the Baltimore Ravens is you attack them with a slot where they struggle. So I think Cole Beasley has a nice game here and you can run on them. They actually haven't been a great run defense. They're 28th against the run over the last 4 weeks. So I think it's a Devin Singletary game. I think it's a Frank Gore game. I think it's a Cole Beasley game. I have John Brown outside my top 25 for the week because they're so good against the deep ball and they're so good against the pass just as a whole. Their entire secondary is terrific.
One more player that makes your hate list is actually our IBM Watson Insight of the Week. It is Tyler Lockett of the Seattle Seahawks. And despite 3 straight bust performances, Lockett's boom potential, which would be scoring over 19 points, outweighs his bust potential. Sunday night in Los Angeles, Matthew, is Tyler Lockett a difference maker for you this Sunday?
No, I don't understand anything what you just said. Here's what I know. The last three games,
he's been a run. That being said, IBM Watson still feels as though he has a chance to be a boom, more likelier than a bust this upcoming week.
Yeah, I would disagree.
That's
I would
allowed.
Respectfully
allowed.
Disagree
yeah,
with,
go ahead,
with
do it.
IBM Watson. I would agree that there's certainly a chance that he could boom.
Right.
Obviously, he's a very talented player. But to say that it's more likely that he has a big game than he busts, I I respectfully disagree. I think that's a little insane. Last three games, he is wide receiver 103 on a per game basis. He is wide receiver 103.
So he's due for a bounce back.
He's not a top 100 receiver.
He's
Stefania.
Due for a bounce back.
I suppose if you want to say regression to the mean, here's the problem. Okay, so for the last 3 weeks, here's his point totals. Like, he had that 40-point explosion in week nine, right?
I know.
Since then, 5.9, bye week, 4.80. On a per-game basis, he's wide receiver 103. He's averaging 3.57 points per game. He has five total targets in the last two games. Like, I don't know how you're going to boom on 2.5 targets a game, especially when the expectation here is he's going to be shadowed by Jalen Ramsey. The Rams secondary has been a lot better since Jalen Ramsey showed up. Their sixth best pass defense over the last 4 weeks. And then you think about Seattle, and what has Seattle done well? They have run the ball. It is a team that wants to run, and they would love every game for the rest of the season to go how it did on Monday night, where they had a lot more plays, where Chris Carson got 20 touches or so, where Rashad Penny got 20 touches or so. Like, that is, and they control the clock, and obviously they won that game in a very tough matchup against Minnesota here. I don't know. Since the Jalen Ramsey trade, the Los Angeles Rams allow the third fewest yards per reception to opposing wide receivers. Opposing wide receivers are averaging just 9.18 air yards per target. That's third lowest in the NFL. They have not allowed a touchdown to a wide receiver in five of the last seven games. So it's crazy to me to hear that they think there's a much better chance that that Tyler Lockett has a huge game here than he doesn't. When everything that we say over the last 4 weeks, in terms of what we've seen from the offense in Seattle, in terms of what we've seen of how they get the ball to Tyler Lockett, and in terms of what the Rams defense has done.
Last time he played the Rams, 4 for 51 in touchdown. Granted, that
is
was
that a boom?
Before.
Would that be a boom game? I don't think that's a boom
game.
No, but it's not a bust game either.
It's
certainly
not a bust game.
And he's being ranked as a wide receiver too, correct? Still, you're not saying start him, just lower expectations.
Outside of top 20.
Outside of top 20?
I don't have him
lower than I do.
I have him higher than these guys, but I think I could probably come down. I think I'm probably a little too high, but I'm sort of optimistic for a bounce back. And the last time he played the Jaguars, when Jalen Ramsey was a member of that team, 2017, week 14, 4 for 90 and a touchdown, 20 fantasy points. So I don't subscribe to the theory that's going to knock him out completely.
Well,
I also think that Seattle doesn't run the same game script every single time. I mean, we always say they want to run the ball, but that's not been the case. But they've had they have been like sort of a big play team here and there. And usually that's DK Metcalf. But I feel like Tyler Lockett has been an outlet for them, and I think that he can do so again.
Listen, Tyler Lockett is an insanely talented player, and he's got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL throwing to him. And their defense, the Seattle defense, has struggled. And so could they get into a shootout? The game's in Los Angeles, where Jared Goff has traditionally played better. 100%, all that's correct. But my belief is that we are in week 14 of the playoffs. This is win or go home time.
Yep.
You can't tell me there isn't a lot of risk with
Tyler
Lockett.
Listen, I think it's the trickiest decision of the weekend, in my opinion, because he could be a 30-point guy or he could be a 0.3-point guy.
Yep.
Just ask anybody who's played him over the past 3 weeks. You don't want to be the guy that gets 0.3 fantasy points. You also don't want to be this guy, which we're going to take a look at real quick. And then on the other side of that, Stefania with much more injury information, a ton of names to cover in just one moment.
She's not a clone, she's your favorite gal, she's Stefania Bell.
That's right, she is. And Stefania, let's get through it. Let's begin with the Patriots wide receivers, both Mohamed Sanu and Julian Edelman listed on the team's injury report.
Right, and Julian Edelman's been there forever and a day, but he plays every time. So that one, you know, no surprise. Mohamed Sanu, I thought he looked a little bit beat up last week, like he was struggling with that ankle injury.
Remember,
this is a high ankle sprain, and he was just not himself. But doing better this week, so even though he's still limited, he also is expected to play. So at least there's two guys you can count on. A lot fewer guys on the Patriots injury report this week. The bug seems to have cleared the locker room.
Yes, it has. Derrick Henry, Stefania. This is a scary one because he's Derrick Henry and he's been amazing.
And because it's a hamstring. And it's the last thing you want to see Derrick Henry dealing with coming into this week. Now, you could feel good that he did return to practice on Thursday, still limited after he sat out Wednesday. stay tuned for this morning's report to see how he does, but I expect Derrick Henry to be available for the game.
How about Matt Breida for the 49ers? We thought he might play last week. They ended up holding him out, and
yeah,
they got
I think
great
that was
production
wise.
For Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, and you know, now they have Matt Breida with full confidence. He's been a full participant in practice all week. This will be his first game back since week 10 against Seattle when he injured that ankle. So look forward to getting Matt Breida back, but obviously that's going to affect the shakeout of the running back workload in San Francisco.
I can't imagine starting any 49ers running back this week.
They're all other over.
I mean, like, it's a tough matchup with New Orleans. They're about middle of the pack in terms of run defense recently, but just Coleman, Breida, and Mostert are going to get enough work to sort of cancel each other out. Like, on Monday, we'll say, like, hey, this guy had a good game. One of them will have a good game field. I can't imagine. I mean, it literally is. It's like we've talked about a lot of these flexes. Like, it's hope and pray. Touchdown-dependent flexes, and you're just hoping
you
one of them
gets
feel
good
in.
About it, or you feel like you have to. That's kind of where you are with a 49ers running back. You have to.
Do you feel good about any of those guys?
No.
If you had to pick one?
Raheem Mostert?
I would agree. If I had to pick one.
Probably Raheem Mostert.
Although I think, his touches go down with Breida back. Speaking of the 49ers. Continue on the guys who catch passes for them. Deebo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders, George Kittle, all still on the injury report. But the good news, Samuel and Sanders, full participants all week. There's no doubt about them. George Kittle still nursing a couple injuries. Remember, he's playing through a cracked bone in his ankle. But he will play again despite being limited.
Okay. How about A.J. Brown, Stephanie? Yeah. This was the midweek pop-up.
It was actually yesterday added to the report with a calf injury. Tron Davenport, who covers the Titans for us, gave a lot of nice little details that he left practice early, like during the team stretch. He went to the side, had a sleeve placed on that left leg, and then ended up leaving the field with one of the team's athletic trainers before the individual period began. So keep your eye on A.J. Brown. Calf injury, late edition on Thursday. Not good.
Okay, that's not good right there. Now, he's not a player that you were necessarily starting. He's been, obviously, some up and down, but he has been an ascending player, a little bit of value there.
And Humphrey's still out.
Yeah. It ties to the value, I would say, of Ryan Tannehill, who, by the way, has John Gruden. I got to look at John Gruden.
I was wondering why you didn't say that the last time.
Because he's been
missed out on it.
John Gruden. John Gruden is playing against Ryan Tannehill. Has anybody listened to his press conferences? I want to know. Like, has he been saying it or no? I'm going to make sure I tune in to I'm either going to have to tune into one today, or I'm going to go rewatch some from earlier on in the week when he referenced my favorite, Ryan Tannehill. How about Golden Tate, Stefania? Missed last week for the Giants.
Yeah, concussion. But back in full practice on Thursday, Pat Shurmur said that all indications are he will be ready to go. Pat Shurmur also said this morning, Evan Engram, all indications are that he will be ready to go. So look to get Evan Engram back, who's been out with a foot injury, and Golden Tate coming off a concussion. Both of them, barring a setback, will play on Monday night with quarterback Eli Manning.
That's hey, right. Now.
And by the way, wouldn't it just be something?
I would
the
love
Giants that. Have, well, how about this, though? The Giants have had a grand total of, guess how many snaps? Daniel Jones has played with Saquon Barkley, Evan Engram, Golden Tate, and Sterling Shepard this year.
Zero.
Zero snaps.
Would be my guess.
That's right. Zero snaps so far for what is the future of the Giants offense. But
I got it right, Stephon. You don't have to shame me. Listen, Princeton. You know what? Some of us get stuff right every once in a while.
Yes, that's correct. Stephon, you get stuff right all the time, Matthew. Every once in a while. We'll see whether or not Daniel Jones does return this season. If so, it would be really nice to see him with all of those skill players around him. So
it'd be nice for Eli to have one good game on Monday night.
That's right.
I feel for him.
And if Golden Tate plays, I'm a little nervous. I mean, we just don't know. Like, I sort of feel like, Field, and Stephanie, I'm curious if you guys agree with me here, but I sort of feel like Eli, who hasn't been the starter for a long time, I feel like it's going to be Engram and it's going to be Sterling Shepard. It's going to be the guys he knows. Saquon, obviously, but he doesn't really have, we haven't seen him with Darius Slayton. You know, Slayton didn't get much run the first couple of games when Eli was a starter. Tate had been suspended. Eagles are actually pretty good against the slot. They've defended the slot so well this year. So Tate makes me nervous on Monday night.
Agree on that. Mm-hmm. And speaking of players,
I like Engram and Shepard.
Feel the same way.
Real quickly, I just wanted, just as long as we're talking sort of quick injuries, just thought this is interesting to note. Rich Simini, who covers the Jets for us, just tweeted this out a couple minutes
Bell missing
ago.
Second practice with an illness.
Yeah.
Boom.
It's Stephania. Like she's Johnny on the spot.
Look at you.
You were planning to talk about that, huh?
Were you? Sorry, did I just steal your thunder?
No. It's okay. He wasn't on my list, but this news just came in. So I think keep an eye on Le'Veon Bell's status. Okay. I'm not worried yet.
Okay, not worried yet. So
Le'Veon Bell, second straight practice missed at practice. While we were talking, I just added Bilal Powell in the War Room League, 16 team. Like, just who knows? You know what I mean? But like, it's a matchup against Miami, and my expectation is that Bilal Powell, you'd see some time Montgomery. But if Le'Veon Bell were to miss this game, Bilal Powell would be the guy, and he'd be a top 20 guy, top 20-ish against Miami.
Bilal Powell, come on.
What would you rank him if Le'Veon Bell is out? Why not? What would you rank him? Okay, that's fine.
Closer to 30.
So that's if Le'Veon Bell misses this game.
Love this one, yeah.
If Le'Veon Bell misses this game, if he's ruled out, if he is ruled
he
out of this
top
game,
20 back.
I say, you said 30, I said 20. So I'm going to say, I say Bilal Powell is a top 25 running back if Le'Veon Bell misses the game against Miami.
If Le'Veon Bell misses the game against Miami, I say Bilal Powell is not a top 25 running back.
Put it on the board.
Another win, I won't be able to actually get to
it. And by
enjoy.
The way, and if Le'Veon Bell plays, I have him as a top 25 running back against Miami. You have him outside the top 25. So we'll just go ahead, Keith, go ahead and just make that a note that basically we'll take whoever the starting running back of the Jets is. I say top 25 against Miami. Field says outside the top 25.
Let's
bingo, bango, there you go.
The running back confidence conversation, because there are a lot of running backs that were not.
You're not hearing it, but Field's nodding in agreement to that that board bet. So terrific. Good. Let's move on.
Your sight needs to be
let's move on, Field. Come on, keep the
running
show
back
going.
Confidence check. Marlon Mack, and let's begin Stefania with the health side of this, because he has missed, what, two games now with that broken hand that he suffered a few weeks back?
Had surgery and clearly wasn't going to play on a Thursday. Then following game was last week's game. But now Marlon Mack upgraded to a full practice yesterday, and it is looking like Marlon Mack returns this weekend.
Okay, that will be good news for Indianapolis, who may not have much of a chance, but they basically have to win out to have any chance whatsoever. Yet they face a Buccaneers run defense that for the first half of the season was a brick wall. It hasn't been quite as good recently, but we all have them as kind of a flex consideration. I don't have any concerns, by the way, Matthew, that if Marlon Mack plays, it'll be a timeshare with Jonathan Williams or, I guess, Jordan Wilkins. Those guys both saw some run over the past couple of weeks, but as we saw early on this season, when Mack is healthy, he is the guy, and the Colts remain one of the more dedicated run team so far this season. Let's get to the Patriots, though, because the Patriots on Sunday are still looking to find some offensive mojo. Perhaps Sony Michel's most, well, I guess you can make the case, there have been a couple of top games in his career. You can make the case that one of his best, if not his best game in his career, was against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game last season. I've been using this phrase now about 30 times during the podcast. There are players you're excited to start, and there are players that you're just starting because you have to. I've got Michelle more in that second category. It's like, I'm starting him because I have to. I'm not super enthusiastic about it. Matthew, are you enthusiastic, though, because the matchup against the Chiefs, a team that has struggled to defend the run so far this season, and a team, the Patriots, that, you know, they typically talk about this sort of anecdotal, but this time of year, they try to ground and pound and just sort of win low-scoring games if need be to get to the playoffs and secure a top-two seed.
There's no question that there is risk here, but I think I'm more optimistic than you two guys. He comes in at 21 in my ranks as of Friday morning. Again, I always update them after all the injury reports come out Friday afternoon, so always check Friday night, Saturday, and honestly, the best time to check them is Sunday morning because they'll be up to the minute. But specific to Sony Michel, they need to get Sony Michel right. If the Patriots want to repeat as Super Bowl champions, it's going to be tough for them to do it, I think, without Sony Michel doing something. Like, I feel like they need to get an effective run game here. And as good as James White has been between the tackles, even, you know, as we saw against Houston last week, they need to get Sony Michel right. And with Tom Brady not 100% healthy, like, you know, we expect him to play. But, like, don't you feel like there's a little something there?
No.
No? You think it's a bunch of even though he's on the injury report, you think it's baloney?
No, it's not baloney. It's that you are obligated to report if a player has any limitations whatsoever in practice. But Brady himself said last night, no, this is nothing, I'm fine.
Brady basically said, if this is all I got at this point in the season, I feel pretty good.
All right, there you go. Either way, they do, as you mentioned, Field, anecdotally, they do go more run heavy when they get into December. And you think specifically about this matchup with the Chiefs, where Kansas City allows over 30 running back fantasy points per game. They're a bottom three defense in both rushing yards allowed and yards per carry allowed. They allowed a league high 30.4 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs this season. Eight different times this year, a running back has rushed for 100 yards or a touchdown against the Kansas City Chiefs. And so, you know, look, Sony Michel, that's one of the ways to defeat the Kansas City Chiefs, right, is to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. We've seen when Kansas City has lost this year is because the team they've played has run the ball very effectively, and there's no team better at exploiting another team's weakness than the New England Patriots. And so my expectation is that they go run heavy in this game. And if they're going run heavy, I expect Sony Michel to be a part of that. And they get in close, he's probably got the best chance of any of them to fall into the end zone. I have him as a top 20-ish play this week.
Darius Geis ranks inside your top 30, just inside of. He's just outside my top 30 and Stefania's as well. The signs have been encouraging because he has run hard and effectively when he gets his opportunities. But as we keep talking about, Adrian Peterson is the starter there, and they're playing against the Packers on Sunday in Green Bay. If this is a blowout, then
that's a concern.
Chris Thompson's the guy at that point, right?
Yeah, yes and no.
Okay.
So it's actually because of the blowout that I think I'm a little bit higher on guys.
They're going to try to establish the run late.
That's exactly what they'll try to do. No, is that, look, Geis is one of, if not their best offensive player right now. He's the guy that's shown the most burst, the most explosiveness. Like, he's had a couple of big plays, which is...
who would be better?
I mean, Terry McLaurin is really talented,
Scherf, yeah, probably.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
Scherf is really good, but, I mean, it's a short list. It's a short list. I know there are some that think the Redskins are close. I am not one of them. Although, Redskins' hope still alive for the playoffs, by the way, with Dallas's loss. If Dallas wins the next... Dallas loses
don't
out...
Don't talk to if, me. If Dallas loses... Seed stop, about your terrible stop.
If Dallas loses four... If Dallas stop loses it. The next three and Philadelphia loses all four, NFC East champion Redskins at 6-10, babe.
That
let's go. Hail to the Redskins.
Not only, but it was
7-9
just,
the hard way. Let's go now.
I don't think I'd even be able to talk to you.
Look, I've been very clear. I want the Redskins to finish 3-13. You know, I wanted last week I wanted them to finish 2-14. I want Bruce Allen fired. Hashtag fire Bruce Allen.
I haven't heard you say that at all this year. I haven't heard you once mention your desire for the Redskins.
Well, then you know what that means. You know what it means, that it feels like I'm being too subtle about it. So let me be clear about it. I need to start not only telling you a lot, but I need to start texting you. Okay, I need to start texting Chapin so she can tell you as well. There's a lot I got to do to make sure you understand my feelings on this subject. I want to be very clear about this. I want Bruce Allen fired. Hashtag fire Bruce Allen. I'm rooting for the Redskins to lose because I think the only way Bruce Allen gets fired is that if he goes 3-13 in some sort of embarrassing thing. By the way, I highly encourage everyone to read the interview of Trent Williams in the Washington Post, who has a lot of interesting things to say about the culture there that others have said is, quote, damn good. Specifically to Darius Geis here, however, he is one of the best offensive players that they have in Washington. He's a big play waiting to happen. Packers allow the fifth most rushing yards per game this season. And they allow the sixth most fantasy points to opposing running backs. Darius Geis is a nice pass-catching running back. So in the event that they get blown out here at Lambeau, which I think is a very real possibility, I don't think it's all Chris Thompson. They don't want Chris Thompson to have a heavy workload. They want him playing a certain amount of snaps. They want him playing 20-ish snaps a game. They want him touching the ball 8 to 12 times a game. And so even in a blowout, that immediately rules out Peterson, who isn't really involved in the passing game, but I do think they would try to get Geis involved. Again, they're seeing sort of the potential. He's getting healthier and healthier. They want to get him more runs. So I do think Darius Geis, it's certainly risky, but I think he's a viable flex play given the amount of big play potential we've seen in him, his passing game usage, and the production we've seen, I think, will increase his snaps. He only played, I think, 16 snaps last week. My expectation is that number increases on Sunday.
No risk it, no risk it. Kareem Hunt and the Browns play the Bengals for one of two opportunities over the next, 3 weeks, but four games. Kareem Hunt checks in as a top 21 play for all three of us. He played a season-high 65.1% of the snaps last week. He's averaging 5 yards per carry. Believe he has already 30 targets in three games. Has he played three games? He had 30 through his first three, and he was effective last week in scoring a touchdown as well. Kareem Hunt has been outstanding for the Browns this season since he returned. We all are in agreement there that that's a flex play you actually feel, or maybe even a low-end RB2 that you feel pretty excited about. But one more backfield here, and I think we all can very quickly and succinctly describe how we feel about starting any player, is Ronald Jones of the Buccaneers. Bruce Arians said this week, we got to get Ronald Jones more involved. We got to get him going this week. The problem is that they've tried that before. And then you know what happens? He does something silly and they yank him out of the lineup right away. Would either of you start either a Ronald Jones, Peyton Barber? Would you even consider starting a Bucs running back absent being completely desperate in a super deep league and having zero other choices?
Yeah, I pulled Ronald Jones from one of my lineups for that reason. Too frustrating.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Again, it's fantasy success is all about trying to limit risk, right?
Yeah.
And so I get it. No risk it, no risk it. We talk about that all the time. But
sure,
ultimately, I'm with Stefania here. Stefania and I both have him as running back 35. You're a bit more optimistic here. I don't know. He's had two games with more than 14 carries in a season. The Colts allow the sixth fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. It's bad matchup. It's a three-headed monster here.
I think, by the way,
limited possessions because Indianapolis is so good at time of possession and controlling the clock. I don't think you're going to get as many scoring opportunities as well. And so, you know, Peyton Barber had the big game last week. This is a stay away from me.
Quick thing here. We're getting a bunch of questions in the chat about Dalvin Cook, Stefania. Wanted to get your update on whether or not you feel like Dalvin Cook, you're confident in him playing this week, especially with, and I'd like to say this, Alexander Mattison still available in 65% of leagues.
Yeah, so I feel confident that he's going to play. I think what you saw happen last week, so Dalvin Cook has been nursing a chest injury for the last couple of weeks. He takes a hit during that game where he goes down and he releases the ball, fumbles the ball, which he, you know, took it hard after the game, said it's on him not to lose the ball no matter what. But to be honest, where he got hit hurt so much that he really didn't have the control of the ball. And when he left the game, it was referred to as a shoulder injury. But if you look at where he was hit, it's kind of like shoulder meeting chest area. And he said, look, at time of the season, you're going to have bumps and bruises. I mean, he's kind of been downplaying what the injury is. But my point is, it's not going to be that he's fully healthy from this. It's not like he's going to be fully recovered from this injury. He's going to keep playing through it. His legs work fine. He can still catch the ball. But if he takes a hit right to that spot, yeah, it's going to be a problem. Could it force him out of the game? It could. I'm not going to play him and be worried about that. I expect him to play. But if I had Dalvin Cook on my roster, I'd really be trying to get Madison too. For sure.
Scary thought right there. Obviously, you don't have a choice. If you start Dalvin Cook, you are tethered to him, whether he plays the full game at his usual effectiveness, or if he leaves early because that shoulder issue, chest issue, I think they're technically calling it on the injury report as well, something to be mindful of. But if he plays, you have to go in with the mindset that I am starting him and taking whatever I get from him. There is a game that has a lot of fantasy relevance on Sunday that we may not have expected to have a lot of fantasy relevance earlier on in the season. It's the Jets and the Dolphins, and we just told you that Le'Veon Bell missed his second straight practice because of an illness, which means that if he does sit, we have a Bilal Powell board bet floating in our ecosystem. But sounds like, based off Stefania's earlier sort of dismissal of major concern, that we will see Le'Veon Bell on Sunday. But let's get to the players from either side that might not normally be started, right? So you're starting Le'Veon Bell if he plays on Sunday, obviously. But how about some of the other guys more on the periphery? So for Miami, like Matthew, you said it earlier on this week, Devontae Parker, set it and forget it, right? Which was a great infomercial a few years back. Same thing here with Devontae Parker, who has been awesome. He's got four straight games with 10-plus targets. How about Mike Gesicki, though? Because I was talking earlier about how when Adam Thielen has been out, Kyle Rudolph has started to see more targets. Preston Williams went down. It kind of feels like Mike Gesicki is all of a sudden seeing a bunch more targets for the Dolphins.
He is the only tight end in the NFL to catch a touchdown in both Week 12 and Week 13. And so you sort of think about how this game plays out and how the Miami Dolphins offense runs. And it's one of the reasons why Devontae Parker has been so good. They can't run the ball effectively. Like, all due respect to Patrick Laird, who will be the most recent one to attempt it this year. And I know there's a lot of people having fun with Patrick Laird on Twitter these days, if you're in the sort of weeds of DFS Twitter there. But, I'm not sure. We have yet to see any indication that Miami can successfully run the ball, and it's a tough matchup with the Jets, even though their defense is banged up. Right? And so, they can't run the ball and they can't play defense, which means the only way they can move the ball is by throwing. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a professional quarterback. He will make mistakes, obviously, but He can throw. He can throw accurately. And so when you're looking around, like after Devontae Parker, it seems like Mike Gesicki is the next best pass catching option there. Remember last time he played the Jets in week 9, 6 for 95, you know, had 15 and a half fantasy points. So, you know, and like Jamal Adams is banged up. Like, we don't know if he's going to play in this game. Like, the, yes, I mean, so I have him as a high end tight end too. There's certainly risk there, but if you're streaming tight ends, you could do worse than Mike Gesicki against the Jets on Sunday.
Okay, so beyond Le'Veon Bell, any Jets pass catcher you're interested in, whether it's Robbie Anderson, Jamison Crowder, obviously Crowder has been pretty solid this season. Anderson has been better of late, but it just feels like it's been a far from expected season for Robbie Anderson, who, as I've talked about before, he is now 4 games away from free agency. A big season this year for Robbie Anderson could have changed his life forever financially. I don't know if he's going to see the market he probably hoped for a year ago in free agency this upcoming March.
Probably not, but last couple of weeks, I think both guys are a little, there's risk there, but I think both guys are viable wide receiver threes this week against against Miami. Like, again, it's a my expectation.
Big play potential, right?
Both big play potential. Anderson, obviously, all he needs is one. Crowder in terms of the volume there. And slot receivers against the Dolphins have done very well this year.
Right.
And so, yeah, especially, by the way, if Le'Veon Bell misses this game, and, you know, like I just mentioned Bilal Powell, but that's a deeper league, whatever. Yeah, I mean, I do think both guys are risky but viable wide receiver threes against the Dolphins.
It should be a fun game. The last time these two teams played, we picked it for a board bet. That was one that I got in my favor, the Dolphins versus the Jets. Do you want to pick again and see if we differ and do a board bet on that or no?
We could. I have to think about who I think wins this game.
Yeah, no risk it. I'll tell you what.
Don't risk it.
I can do a live read while you think about it. You want to think about it?
I think the Jets win this game.
Okay.
Ooh.
There you go. I think the Jets win this game.
Okay. I was going to pick the Jets, but now I'm picking the Dolphins. I say the Dolphins beat the Jets in week 14.
I say the Jets beat the Dolphins in week 14. Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
I can't believe I just bet the stupid Jets.
Again.
Bet the Jets, baby.
Again.
I had the Dolphins. Jets.
Didn't I? I bet the Jets again.
You had the Jets first time because he had the Dolphins.
He had the Dolphins.
Good, more better, baby. Let's roll. Come on, Miami. Woo! Fitz magic. All right, Daniel, tell us about Roman.
That's right, Phil. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off and blame ourselves saying things like...
See, what's weird is it seems to roll off your tongue. It seems like
super
a subject
simple.
You're very comfortable with.
Very comfortable with it.
Yeah, it seems like you just... It feels like it's a subject you have a lot of knowledge on.
Sometimes it feels like, you know what, Matthew? I just lost my mojo. Or maybe we avoid it altogether with excuses like, honey, I had a long day at work. Or, I don't know, I'm just not feeling it tonight.
Or I gotta put the note together for the podcast tomorrow.
Right. Or it's game night with my friends and I've gotta go do that instead. Or I've gotta snowblow the driveway.
That's right. Or sorry, Matthew Field and Stefan, you're texting me and I gotta deal with that. Sorry.
That sounds like a nightmare of an evening.
Right,
I gotta
exactly.
be honest with you.
Oh, sorry. I have to make sure my beard is trimmed.
That's an accurate
for
thing.
For the fantasy show on ESPN Plus tomorrow. Those are all the kind of excuses you hear a lot.
Yeah, you hear all those things all the time. But with Roman, it really is easy to talk about with a real doctor who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. And getting started is just as simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/FFF and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/FFF and get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/FFF for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/FFF.
There are some
things...
There are things in life that are worth the wait, whether it's the week one of the NFL season, whether it's Christmas, whether it's seeing Stefania Bell live and in person. That right there is always worth the wait, as is Field and Stream, the award-winning, I think. Is it?
I think we made. I think we made up an award and we gave it to you.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yes,
we have awarded it.
That's right. Thank you.
The award.
Have awarded it. The award-winning segment.
The award for the award for best segment we do in the last 5 minutes of the show
on
Fridays goes to Field and Stream.
Field and Stream. Let's rip through a couple of names that you need to know for this weekend that might be worthwhile streamers at positions where you only play one player. Noah Fant for the Denver Broncos has been on the waiver wire column. He has been mentioned several times on Fantasy Football Now. He's one of just five tight ends with multiple touchdown receptions of 20-plus yards. He's a big play threat. He is seemingly growing in terms of his role within that offense in Denver. Drew Lock looked good last week. They play the Texans in Houston on Sunday. Meanwhile, when you play the Arizona Cardinals, you've got a chance if you're a tight end. Arizona is allowing 21.2 tight end points per game. That is the worst in the league. The other 31 NFL teams allow 11.6 points per game to tight ends. They allow 21.2. Think about that. What an incredible
gap. Do you know that if the tight end who played against the Cardinals were one person,
yeah,
he'd be the number one tight end in fantasy this year.
He might be the number one player in fantasy, much less tight end, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that is just incredible. How about the Arizona Cardinals for streaming defensive
options?
Before
we move on there real quickly, I just want to ask you a question here.
Yeah.
So you have Noah Fant as a top 11 play this week. I have Vance McDonald as a top 11 play.
Okay. I didn't realize my Vance McDonald rank has been updated since we produced our notes.
Got it. Understood. Yeah. Would you care for a Vance McDonald, Noah Fant board bet?
No, I wouldn't.
All right.
Yeah, because the ranks will reflect as such in a minute.
All righty. Fair enough.
The Arizona Cardinals are a streaming defense option this week. They're available in 95% of leagues. And if you look at players, or I guess offenses, over the past 8 weeks that have allowed the most points to opposing defenses in fantasy, the Steelers are up right there near the top. It's not so much that the Cardinals have a great defense. They, besides Chandler Jones, basically much of their defensive roster has struggled this year. Yeah. Patrick Peterson, who I think you're about to say off the tip of your tongue, he has had a down year. He's talked about it recently. It just has not been his season between
what
the six game suspension.
Late.
Yeah. But it's more just that the Steelers offense, it's hard to imagine the Steelers like totally this is not gonna be a massive day for the Steelers offense, you don't think, right? I mean, James Conner being out, Duck Hodges, etc. So the Cardinals are an interesting streamer, again, if you're sort of chasing some sacks and potentially low scoring from Pittsburgh. And then finally, the Texans are available in 80% of leagues, and they played great last week against Tom Brady and the Patriots. Their secondary group has kind of found its groove as well. Mm-hmm. They don't have a ton of talent in the secondary, at least not what you might perceive to be a ton of talent, and yet they are playing well, and they are rushing the quarterback well as well over the past couple of games in J.J. Watt's absence. They play the Broncos. Drew Lock, as I just mentioned, showed well in his first ever career NFL start, but perhaps the Texans, led by Romeo Crennel on defense, can sort of stunt him in his second start in his NFL career.
And Drew Lock looked good early, but as the game wore on, it feels like he sort of struggled and it was a lot of dink and dunk there. And give the Texans credit, as they've struggled defensively for much of the year, they showed up last week against the Patriots. They look good. And so now here is another game at home against a rookie quarterback who's coming in for his second start ever. And again, behind a bad offensive line. And, I'm starting the Texans defense in the War Room League playoffs this week as sort of a streamer.
Matthew is starting the Texans defense. There you have it. All right, we are back on Monday for a recap pod, but in the meantime, we'll have Fantasy Football Now on Sunday from 10 to 1.
However, from 10 to noon, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I didn't know if you were aware.
You got it. Yeah.
I didn't know if you were aware.
I have email. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Then you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You were going to do it. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Do you guys want me to do it? I can do. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, Phil. Go ahead. No, you go ahead,
buddy. Maybe Stefania should do it.
Stefania, you want to do it?
Give people the information.
You go, Matthew. Go ahead, bud.
We're on ESPN News from 10 to noon, and then from noon to 1, we will be on ESPN2 because the college football playoff ranking show will be on ESPN, so which means Countdown will be on ESPN2 from 10 to noon. So anyway, for those of you who care about Fantasy Football Now, Stefania Bell, Field Yates, Will Cain, and myself will be on ESPN News from 10 a.m. to noon, and then at noon, we switch over to ESPN2 for the final hour. Come check it out on Sunday. Let's get you a win.
For Matthew, Stefania, Daniel, Keith, Jackson, Kyle, Kenny, and the whole video crew, talk to you guys on Monday.
Peace out!
106.010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
You think you could do better than me? Because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel, Daniel Dodd.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fan.